Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Motivational speaker, author, strength and conditioning specialist to celebrities. It's Jay Cardiello and the Jay Cardiello Show.
Whether you're just getting off the couch and engaging in your first ever exercise activity, or you're an avid runner, gym goer, we've all experienced pain. But the question is, how do you know if it's good pain or is it bad pain? To help clarify that, joining us today is Dr. Michael Carpenter. Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, Michael. Listen, we've all experienced it. I sometimes go for a long run. The next day, I could barely get out of my seat. There's a big question, and a lot of people have this. Is this good pain or bad pain? Because everybody seems to experience it, whether you're biking, running, or swimming. So what exactly, Dr. Michael, is the difference between good pain and bad pain?
Well, good pain is typically your body's response to exercise and it getting stronger in the long haul. Bad pain typically indicates an injury of some sort. And so I want people to understand that there is a good pain. And sometimes I tell my patients, you know, let's call it discomfort and not call it pain, because pain gives it such a bad connotation. However, there is definitely a difference in what it is telling you. If you're having some soreness, you know, either it's right after exercise or that DOMS or delayed onset muscle soreness that typically happens the next day, that's that good type of pain where you know you pushed your body and are going to experience some type of elevation in fitness level because of it. But if you're having sharp pain or anything in the joint itself, that could be considered a bad pain.
It's interesting, Dr. Michael, because every time I go for a long run or I have a leg workout, say, at the gym, the next day I have trouble walking down the stairs. So now I can say this is actually good discomfort and not pain. I like that, switching it over from pain to discomfort. And that'll even change us on a psychological level. So in terms of timeline, because I always think, like, if this is happening for 1 or 2 days, I can understand it. As you said, delayed onset soreness where you may feel it a day or two after. What if you're feeling it a week or two after? Is there a certain timeline that people should consider, okay, this is when I need to go see the doctor because this is not the good discomfort, as you're saying?
Yes, and 1 to 2 weeks is typically what I would say. If it's lasting longer than that, it's probably time to seek help from a health professional. The caveat is, though, if there's significant swelling going on, if you're having popping or locking within the joint, if there's a really point tenderness to it, or if you're having any numbness and tingling or radiating pain associated with it, that would be a time not to wait for that 1 to 2 weeks.
Interesting. So we're looking at a timeline. Let's just go this over one more time. So we're looking at a timeline about 1 to 2 weeks, and then we should really go see a medical physician or someone like yourself. But 1, 2, 3 days after, we're just looking for delayed onset soreness or pain that is associated with a workout, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so now, first time, people are listening for the first time. They just went out. They are engaging in exercises. Maybe they've worked with a trainer, and now they're feeling that pain or that soreness or even that inflammation around the joint. What would you recommend that people do or the steps they may take to alleviate that good discomfort?
It seems counterintuitive to people who are just starting to work out, but the best thing to do for some of that good pain is to actually do some type of low-level activity, whether it's low-level cardio or actually some light resistance training throughout the whole range, so that you're getting blood to flow back through that area to get rid of some of the toxins that have been created with the exercise.
I really appreciate you saying that, because a lot of people, when they think of soreness or, as we're saying, discomfort, they stop and they rest. So you're actually telling people, as well as my listeners and patients, to, if it's good discomfort, you're just coming out from the first time working out, that you should engage in stretching, mobility work, flexibility work, and continue in the program. Don't just stop. Is that correct?
Correct. If you have that good pain and then you sit on the couch or allow it to keep you immobile, you'll prolong how long you're in that good pain.
That's interesting, because a lot of people say, oh, I just worked out yesterday and they're in so much pain, and they stop, they sit on the couch. Now, in terms of, say, reducing that good discomfort, nutritionally, even water, even sleep, what do you recommend that people maybe implement into their diet, maybe hydration, or do they increase the hours of sleep if now they're engaging in consistent exercise?
Increasing the hours of sleep to make sure your body is rested is key. Hydration is also key. That way your body can flush some of the residual toxins or acids that are developed through your working out. But also making sure you're you're also giving yourself the proper nutrition. Now, there are some foods that have been shown to actually decrease inflammation within your body. So intaking some garlic, some cinnamon, some ginger, and even some cayenne can also help with that inflammation that you're having after working out.
I appreciate you saying cinnamon. That's a big thing because a lot of people, when they start working out, they reach for carbohydrates, especially simple carbs. And as we know, doctor, that increasing your sugar intake or just simple table sugar will increase inflammation within the body. And a good substitute, since there are a lot of coffee drinkers out there, especially listening to the show, maybe they're hearing it first time when they're driving to work, implementing or replacing the sugar and placing cinnamon will actually help sustain blood sugar levels. So decreasing your sugar intake and actually implementing cinnamon, not only in your foods, but in your coffee, is a great way to start. Now, in terms of, let's go in from the very beginning, warming up, want to get my body ready, what do you recommend people do to help avoid the pain? Maybe in terms of like prehabbing, so we wouldn't have to rehab. What can people do, exercise they can do, even mentally or nutritionally, prior to engaging in an exercise to help reduce the chances of good or bad pain?
Well, mentally, something that's very important is to focus on the activity. Right beforehand, a lot of people kind of use that time to meditate or to actively engage their mind in whatever activity they're going to have and going to participate in. So they're actually decreasing their chance of overdoing it. You want to have a plan because one of the number one risk factors for having pain or injury is having a poor plan. Part of that plan is going to be to make sure that you're properly hydrated, you've actually had a proper meal beforehand, that you've actually given yourself the fuel that you need to participate in the activity, and then you want to make sure you're using the proper equipment for said activity, whether it's the proper running shoes, the proper clothing for the workout, any of those things. Then you do want to do some type of a warm-up, a light version of that activity to get the blood flowing and get those muscles warm.
That's interesting because you said a light warm-up. A lot of people, when they are engaging in an exercise, either do not warm up the body and just jump right into it. I see that a lot on the weekend when people are getting ready to play, say, a softball game or a basketball game. They jump into it. Is there a difference between warming up the body and cooling down the body?
Yes, absolutely. You want to warm the body up to get the blood flowing, prepare the muscles for the activities that you're doing. You want to think about you're about to move those muscles through motions that you probably haven't moved them through in quite some time. And quite some time may be as little as a day or it could be as far out as a decade. And then now that you've done that activity, your resistance training or your cardio training or even playing softball, you've moved the muscles in a way that they haven't been moved, so you need to kind of calm them down, get that blood flowing again. So a little light activity, a little light stretching to get the blood flowing as well as to kind of keep you from being in that pain. If you stretch and do some activity, potentially even some icing, you're going to prevent the intensity or even the onset of that pain.
It's interesting that you mentioned icing. We have about 1 minute, but it's interesting you mentioned icing because people think that you only put it on when you're injured, but people don't realize after working out, your body is inflamed. So, doctor, we have about 30 seconds left. Where can people go to find more about you, learning about exercise, post-workout recovery, and knowing the difference between good and bad pain?
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Carpenter Health, or at my website, carpenterhealthandwellness.com.
Thank you so much, Dr. Michael. To learn more about the difference between good and bad pain, you can always go to my radio show page at radiomd.com. Until next time, I'm Jay Cardiello, sharing my wellness strategies for helping you get off the scale right here on Radio MD. Stay well.